right, we are beginning a new semester of Stephen, the first ripe fruits of the New Testament. And the last semester, I had pretty much lined out what he's saying. And if you took the time to go back and look through it, you see that. You see that that's exactly what he's doing. He's addressing the problem with the fathers. and we went down a certain distance to look at it. And I think starting this semester that I'm going to start on some new areas within this. And we're going to begin with, and we may be on this a couple of weeks. I don't know. But we're going to start talking about Philip in contrast to Stephen. And I'll remind you of that. But I wanted to address something that is really, really going like more than a fad on the internet and with people, and it has to do with AI. Anybody know what that means? Okay, artificial intelligence. And it's this program called ChatGPT, and everybody's afraid that it's going to take over the world because it's doing stuff. Okay. So I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, this would be something perfect for a Bible school student who didn't want to search the Word and find the Lord, that they could just put stuff in, and it's good. It kicks out all kind of stuff. It's good based on the prompts that you give it. In other words, it's not just going to spill the beans when you say, hey, tell me, you know, I mean, you have to add some things. And I'll give you an example. But I thought I would do it on a couple of studies of mine, you know, to just see how they went. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to give you an example of the prompt that I ask it to give. And you're going to hear what may be sufficient for you. So my prompt was, compare and contrast Philip in the book of Acts in the Bible with Stephen in the Bible to better understand their similarities and differences. Use examples to illustrate your points. Okay, so that's what I wrote, and this is what I ask it to do. And here was its response. Stephen and Philip, both mentioned in the book of Acts in the Bible, were prominent figures in the early Christian community. While they share some similarities, such as their faith and involvement in spreading the gospel, there are significant differences in their roles and experiences. One notable similarity between Stephen and Philip is their deep commitment to their faith and their active involvement in spreading the teachings of Jesus. Both were among the seven men chosen to serve as deacons in the early church community, tasked with caring for the needs of the believers. They were described as full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And it gives Acts 6:3. And were known for their devotion and integrity. However, their roles and experiences diverged in significant ways. Stephen is particularly known for the boldness in proclaiming the gospel and his unwavering faith, even in the face of persecution. He delivered a powerful sermon in Acts 7, where he confronted the religious leaders of the time, accusing them of rejecting God's messengers throughout history. Stephen's words angered the crowd, leading to his martyrdom as he became the first recorded Christian martyr in history. Philip, on the other hand, is often remembered for his evangelistic efforts. He was not only a servant of the church, but also an active missionary. Philip played a crucial role in spreading the gospel to Samaria, where he performed miracles and baptized many people, Acts 8, 4 through 13. Additionally, he had an encounter with an Ethiopian eunuch whom he guided to understand the scriptures and baptized, leading to the conversion of this influential figure. In summary, Stephen and Philip were both dedicated followers of Christ who played significant roles in the early Christian community. Stephen's commitment to speaking the truth and his martyrdom showcased his boldness and unwavering faith. Meanwhile, Philip's evangelistic endeavors and his interactions with the Ethiopian eunuch highlights his missionary zeal and his ability to bring others to Christ. Despite their similarities, their different roles and experiences provide a nuanced understanding of their contributions to the spread of Christianity. So basically what this AI does is it shoots through the whole internet and it gathers what it thinks is good stuff. So, sounds pretty cool, huh? Wow. I mean, how many of you really kind of were impressed with the wording and everything? Okay. How many of you are planning on going to hell anytime soon? Just Mike Wallace. Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Okay. So I will probably do this again on some of my other teachings that you're more familiar with. But this is just a really general. It you're more taken with the wording than you are with the content. It's not really telling us a whole lot that we couldn't just read and go, okay, right? But what we're wanting to know is the Lord. And there was no mention of any revelation that it had pertaining to certain scriptures or pertaining to seeing the Lord outside of the box of what we would have come up with, maybe not as eloquently, but certainly basically the same thing. So we're going to get into comparing... the main thing is we're going to get into is comparing Stephen with Philip. But then after we do that, we're also going to compare him with, Philip the Apostle and then Paul. And we're going to see Stephen and Philip seen relationally and seen spiritually through a whole flow, not just one story. Ethiopian, eunuch. And maybe the only thing that some of you even know him for, and probably wouldn't have known that if I hadn't reminded you by reading this, that was his big, he did that. But even that, we're going to see. Do y'all ever notice that sometimes I see things that other people don't see? And it's just plain stuff in the scripture, but we just don't see it. Because one reason that can happen is we get used to reading somebody's book that sounds like this. Or we get used to reading the scriptures with an idea that someone had preached on and therefore it must mean this. But what we need is the Holy Spirit. And we need him because he knows Jesus from before the foundation of the world, not in relationship to gifts and miracles and things like that that are happening on the earth, but the eternal nature of Christ to truly know him. And surface things are not going to get you there. In truth, they're going to just end up leading you down the same path that everybody else is going. And I'm not saying that we're superior or any of that stuff. I don't mean anything like that. I just mean we want to know the Lord. And we want it to be real. And the most real way that it can be that is through the breath of the Holy Spirit, who can share things that are right there in front of us that we never see. For example, Stephen's sermon, amen? I mean, well, let me ask you then. How many of you knew Stephen's sermon was against the fathers, Abraham and all of them? How many of you knew that in advance? Okay. I didn't either till the Holy Spirit showed me. It's not superior knowledge on my part at all. It is realizing that we are all blind and none of us can see unless the Holy Spirit begins to open the Word of God and open our eyes and open our hearts to begin to see Him. And that, my friend, is the difference between this Bible school and the others that I'm aware of, seminaries and such like. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But we know, we're called to know and be conformed to the image of Christ. And that is going to be forever. Learning how to preach or how to, you know, serve communion or whatever, all of that stuff, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be serving communion in heaven. You're going to be having communion. All right. So, let's see. I may go back, or I may just mention some of the things that the artificial intelligence said, and then show you some stuff. But we're going to start with comparing Philip with Philip. One is the guy in Acts 7 that had hands laid on him with Stephen. They were two of the seven. So that's our main character, is Stephen. But Philip was there also, and we'll show that in the scriptures. But before that ever happened in Acts 7, we can go back in time, past all the events of Acts 7, to where Jesus first started choosing disciples, and he picked another guy whose name was Philip. Okay? So, we're going to look at it. All right, so let's look at Acts chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Now, this is that same choosing that Stephen was in, but I want you to see it from the scriptures. And that's why I take a lot of time to share scriptures with you so that you can go back and go, okay, you know, what is it, Acts 11 that he said, 17 that he said, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily to find out, you know, what was being taught was true. So we all need a mind to dig into the Word of God. All right, Acts chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Before I move on, Peter said, you know, look for some people that had this, that they were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And we assume because these seven were picked that's what they've got. But what we're going to find out is it isn't necessarily true. You know, you can do that in a regular church. You can go, gosh, so-and-so seems to be really good at, you know, doing something in the church. And so you say, hey, I want to promote you to chief doer of this, you know. And they, and somehow, some reason they get in there. And they are good at it, but they don't have the spirit of it. Well, how important is the spirit of the thing? It's everything, you know. Scripture says, God seeketh them that will worship him, seek him, honor him as he is, in spirit and in truth. Most people want to go, want to be that or this or whatever, because they know the truth. But if you don't have the right spirit, what's the point? To God, what's the point? Since he's the one that says that he seeks those. Not just truth. We're not just after truth. I have known over my years, and, you know, I've been around a few, I have known people that definitely had the truth. Boy, they sure didn't carry it in the right spirit. Okay. And therefore, it was a stench in the nostrils of God. All right. So, we will give our, this is, he's talking about the apostles now. When you choose these seven people, then they'll be able to do this. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Okay. Well, first of all, I noticed it says we're going to choose men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and this and that. And but the wording of this is, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and that. But the and is not added to all of them. Look at this sentence. The way it's worded is they chose Stephen because he had it, but and they chose Philip. And this will be borne out by our story that we're going to see. Indeed, he was not full of wisdom. Okay. Now, AI doesn't know that. Because he doesn't even know what to look for except for words that match what your little search thing said. AI doesn't know how to dig in there and say, Spirit of God, what about this? You know, just pass over that. No. So, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Okay. So I wrote, the Philip mentioned here was not the same as the Philip who was one of the apostles. How do we know that? Okay, well, I just wanted to have it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, so I found two right off and then quit. One is Matthew chapter 10, verse 2, and keep your place, well, we're going to be digging around in Acts, so you want to keep your place in Acts, but this is Matthew 10. Verse 2 through 4. And this is way, way early before the new church. Matthew 10, verse 2 through 4. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip. There's Philip, the apostle. Different than the one that was anointed, if you will, or hands laid on along with Stephen. But we'll finish it here. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Okay. So, clearly, this is talking about a different person, but to really put the cap on it so that you can see it, back in Acts chapter 6, in the very words that we were reading prior to jumping to Matthew, verse 1 there said, "Look ye out among you." Okay, so just look out among you. So the apostles have come down, and they're going to appoint 7 people to carry out this ministry. And Peter doesn't say, "Look ye among us." He says, "Look ye among you." And then verse 4, "But we, the apostles, we, including the apostle Philip, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Verse 5, "They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip." See that? And then verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles." Okay? You see it? They chose out these 7 people, and one of them was Philip, and all the apostles had come down and said, "We want to give ourselves." So why would Philip go, "Hey, I'll be over here, I'll be a deacon"? You know, he's not going to do it. It's 2 different people. It shouldn't be that big a deal, but you never know. All right. So, again, the larger view that we will be taking at the beginning of this semester is the contrast of Stephen with Philip and with Paul. Because Stephen and Paul, now they're more akin to one another than Stephen and Philip. All right? And the contrast is immense. It just is. So let's begin Philip's path compared to Stephen's. So we got the right Philip in mind now, right? Not the apostle. All right. Acts chapter 8. And we'll start with verse 5. So this is Philip, the deacon, or whatever word you want to use for him. He went down to the city of Samaria. I mean, my first question is, I thought they were supposed to stay back and feed the widows, but nonetheless, you know. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Again, I want you to look at the sentence structure. We can just read right over, and I mean we can read that Stephen was full of faith and full of wisdom and full of this, and not notice that it kind of just put that toward him, and Philip's mentioned next, and it didn't go, "And he was a great one too." You know, same thing here. Is that it says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." So they're giving heed to what he said, but they're hearing and seeing the miracles which he did at the same time, and that's drawing them. Verse 7, "Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice." I don't know why they cry with a loud voice. Mike Gentry, why do they cry with a loud voice? Do you know? Never mind.
He has a no voice.
Keep talking. Clearly you don't have demons. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. Nothing from you, brother. Nothing. All right. "Came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, that and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. All right, so Philip looks great at this stage, doesn't he? I mean, he does. And you can't just do these things. These things are done by God. Amen? You can't just do them. So we're okay right now. We're okay. But Philip looked good. So why was he looking good? Well, mainly because of the deliverances and the things that he's doing. All right. Verse 9. But there was a certain man named Simon, and this is not Simon Peter the Apostle. Don't get all these people, you know. So, well, we also have John. Not here, but, you know, there's a lot of Johns in every bathroom. Anyway, never mind. Okay, so there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Okay, so you following this? There's a sorcerer. He's bewitching the people to think that he's somebody great. Okay, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So I wrote, but there was one big problem. And that was Simon the sorcerer. He deceived the people to believe he was a great one. Verse 10 says, they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." So the problem was that none of this that Simon was doing was the great power of God. Amen? None of this was the great power of God. So there's some deception going on. And to him they had regard because of that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, so Philip must have been persuasive in the things that he was doing in the midst of that kind of a situation. He was persuasive in preaching the kingdom and the name of Jesus, because a lot of them believed. But what did they believe? And maybe most importantly, what did Philip believe? Is this a great revival? What is this? You know? So, verse 13. Then Simon himself, the sorcerer dude, not Peter, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So Philip was such that even Simon believed. But again, what did he believe? Once Simon got wet, meaning baptized, or maybe he just got wet. Well, are you laughing over there, Mike Wallace? Okay. I got a better one than that, but I had to mark it out over here. So, he seemed to become a close follower and possibly close disciple of Philip's. Do you see that?
Yes.
And a lot of people miss that when they read this stuff. You don't miss stuff in the Word of God. You read it over and over until you can see what he's trying to say. Once he got baptized, he seemed to become a close follower and possibly disciple of Philip's. Apparently, he was fascinated with the supernatural abilities Philip displayed. All right, verse 14. Now, when the apostles, folks, we got problems now. We got problems because the apostles, they're not coming down because there's problems in that sense. They've only heard good reports. Okay? They have. They're coming down to help the revival, if you will. So, but you got a different layer of spirituality, if you will. So, verse 14, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Wow, good team. They had been, they'd been working together for a while. Do y'all remember that? It's kind of funny because it was James and John. James was the older brother and John was the younger one. But now it's Peter and John, and they're going into the temple, and there's some lame man there, and, he asked for alms, and he got legs. Anyway, and they're going in, and, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto you. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And so all the people come running around because they knew that that blind man had been laying at that gate for a lot of years. They all come running. And Peter says, why are you looking at us as though by our spirituality, our holiness, or our power that this is done? Now that is a man of God. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. But where's, the discernment? You have to grow in this. I mean, we can read this stuff all the time and go, oh, I know that. I've read that in the Bible. I'm familiar with this. I know this story, and not know it at all because we've got blinders on certain areas of our truth and we don't see the Lord in fullness, and we need to stay. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And you know what? When I was young in the Lord, and I read that, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I said, I'm going to stay in the word. I'm going to just continue and continue and continue. Because he said, because Jesus, the non-liar, said, if you continue, you will. Well, that's okay. I got it up there. Da-da-da-da. What do you think, Marcia? Amen. It is to me, too. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you something. It didn't say, everybody quotes that then, the truth will set you free. It does not say the truth will set you free. It says it's going to make you something. It's going to make you free. There's a difference between having a certain problem and being set free from that and being a mess totally and being made free from it. See, the faith can arise in a situation like that. When you understand that, you go, well, then I want to continue and I'm going to continue. And it'll happen. I mean, it's been a while since I've shared this, but I remember, man, when I was in Bible school, I had problems in certain areas and stuff like that, and it was just like, oh, God, and I thought, all these other things the Lord is doing in my life and getting rid of stuff, he will never be able to get rid of this area because it's not a problem, it's just me. It's me. Not Randy's problem here, take it. It's me. And it just looked hopeless to me. How will I get over that? But I was continuing in the Word. And a couple of years passed. And I remember a certain situation came up, and I was looking at it, and I went, huh, that was the problem, and I don't have it anymore. In fact, I barely recognized it. And it was amazing, because when I thought back, it's been gone for a while. See, we're wanting a big wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know what I mean? This great big move of God. And and I've got it. And now my hair's got chalk in it. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. Actually, it doesn't show up because it's about the same color. No. We want the Lord. We don't want the circus. We don't have to have the circus, folks. We shouldn't have to have that. We shouldn't have to have the feelings. We shouldn't have to have all the you know, wailing or, you know, Willie or, or gnashing of teeth. We need to settle down and just start settling into His Word. Don't read it expecting to get something out of it. Just continue in it. You go, well, I read it. I did that. Nothing happened. And then you do that for a month, and you go, well, what's the point? Every time I read it, I get nothing. He didn't say do that. He said continue in my word. See, again, we're not reading it right. We're reading it another way. Continue in my word and expect that every time you get in the word, He's going to show you something, and new, you know, bad things about you are going to disappear, instead of thinking in terms of, I'm not continuing in the word to get everything fixed. I'm looking for Jesus. And I want the Holy Spirit to reveal Him in me. Okay? Well, once that happens, then you are free. Yes. You know? But the freedom continues, you know? If you continue in the Word, I'll put it like this. You don't have a revelation of Christ and say, I've got everything that there is. I know everything that God knows. Really? No. We'll never know everything God knows. We're not trying to. We're not trying to get everything fixed. We're seeking the Lord, and we're doing it from a pure heart because I might have shared this recently, I don't know, but I remember once when I was in that place, and I was seeking the Lord, you know, and all of a sudden I realized, you know, I could feel my motive, and I thought, you know, I'm seeking the Lord just to help me, bless me. Give me a revelation of Christ, and, you know, then I'll be real spiritual. You know, I mean, it was real. That's what I caught myself thinking that. And I just went, oh, I said, Father, you know, I'm sorry I prayed that way. I'm sorry that my motives are wrong and everything, and, you know, I don't really know how to stop doing that, but I'm sorry. And He said, don't worry about it. And I said, what? Don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it. Once you come to a revelation of my Son, you won't be doing it anymore. You'll have the right motives. That was a good answer. Instead of spending all of my time going, I know what my motive's going to be. And it's going to be bad. And He's going, stay at it. Yeah. Right? Yes. You know, so, yes, sir. I'm glad I did. Okay. We did verse... All right, so I'm going to read this because I've already said some of this. It seems that two top apostles heard that these Samaritans had received the word of God and were sent to see. The two were Peter and John. Since John's brother had been involved in leadership, these two had gotten closer and ministered together prior to this, which I just love. If you go back and just look it up where they have, it's like they're buds. They really are. It's like, There's family is happening. But it's family in the Lord. You know? It's a beautiful thing. Verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anybody see? Yeah, there you go. Anybody see something there? Why did the apostles end up having to come? Now, they didn't know this because they assumed everything was in order. They did. This proves it when it says, who when they were come down, they just immediately started praying for them that they'd get filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course they did. Why? Well, these two guys right here that were sent down there, this is what chapter are we in here? 8. Okay, so what chapter did the Holy Spirit fall upon them? 2. It hadn't been that far away. They know the difference between sitting there for 50 days from Passover to Pentecost, 50 days, sitting there in the upper room with fear, and the doors locked, and it said that in certain scriptures. Fear that the Romans or the Jews are going to come in there and kill them, but Jesus finally appeared to them, but he left again. But he said, go up there in the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit. Well, Jews only believe there's one God, not three. But they hear Jesus praying to the Father, but he's the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit's going to come. It's like, wow, we're getting... Well, it is only one God. It is only one God. So they were there. They experienced it. Peter was the one who jumped up and starts pouring scripture out. I guess he was continuing in the Word. Huh. I mean, he was like a fountain of living water, you know. This is that, you know. That the sound, he heard the sound, didn't he?
Yes.
He heard the sound. So these guys, freshly as it were, come up. Somebody says, well, you know, they go, well, you know, they seem a little dull. Did they get filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, no. You know, Philip might go, what? And they go, well, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get on this thing. Let's get on the move. Let's get everyone filled with the Holy Spirit. So they start doing it. Okay, so, but it points out this thing in verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized. In other words, only they had been baptized in water. I mean, water's a powerful thing, but it's not as powerful as the Holy Spirit. Philip is doing it halfway. He's doing it halfway. And he's leaving out the most important part that all of the apostles know about, meaning the upper room experience with the Holy Spirit and that the transformation of how they saw the Word, how they saw the Lord no longer walking with them. They saw him here in the Word of God, and he was real and alive, and he began to be revealed in them. Way better than walking with Jesus for 3.5 years and then at the end running and hiding. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sorry if I sound Pentecostal, but this was the Holy Spirit coming down there. You know what I mean? This is real. This is real. Yes. This is not new, you know, what's the name of our church? New creation. Jesus tried doctrine. This is not Randy doctrine. This is the third person of the Trinity being activated in people's lives. Not an experience of something that you feel at the moment and then it's gone. It is an activation of the third person of the Trinity whose goal is to reveal Christ in us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, as yet, it hadn't, you know. So here's how they handled that. Then laid they hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I wrote, unlike Philip, these two had already spent years with Jesus, knowing that even they didn't really get what Jesus was saying, meaning the people, till they got the Holy Spirit. They immediately moved in that direction. Philip apparently had been following after the ministry of John the Baptist because, and I say that because what is he preaching? He's preaching the kingdom of God and repent and be baptized. That's John the Baptist. That's exactly his ministry. That's not Christ in you. That's not living by another life. That's some portion that was early on that God used. And now in that flow is not, you know, let's just say that it's not the main point. Yes.
Even John the Baptist said, one comes after me that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, and the Lamb walked by and they left John the Baptist. Yeah, we're in the ministry. We're in the ministry. Yeah, we can do stuff. And hey, what is bad? What's this? Behold, the Lamb of God. And they dropped everything and followed him. I don't think it tells us who they were, but it's probably Peter and John. I don't know. Who knows? That's speculation. So that was an eye-opener to me. And I don't think AI is going to pick up on some of these things. I mean, I just don't. It's going to tell you the sweet lines. That, you know what? It's almost like a date that'll, you know, tell you what you want to hear, but they, you know, break up the next day or something like that. It's just, it's false. And yeah, it sounds good. It may have good points, but it can never take the scriptures and reveal Christ to you. Because it's only listening to people who maybe, you know, I mean, if the whole internet was full of people writing stuff that had Christ in him crucified as their subject, it might could do something with that. But it's kind of lacking in that area, okay? Right. So, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying... Remember, Simon, this is the sorcerer. This is a sorcerer. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he will receive the Holy Ghost. Okay. Well, I'm sure this is all innocent. No, it's not. It's not innocent. This guy had nuzzled up close to Philip and was trying to figure out how to do God stuff without having God. Or even wanting God. So, here we go. Now remember, I may have to go over a little bit, I don't know. But remember, these are apostles Simon's going to be dealing with, not Philip. He's going to be an apostle. Oh, man. All right. So, so I wrote, but Simon's true motives come forth concerning power and miracles. He offered them money to get this power. Obviously, the closeness and time that Philip and time they spent together, this man of God never, talking about Philip, never discerned what kind of disciple he had. Full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost? Do you remember that was the what they were supposed to find? But how do you know for sure about anybody or everybody unless there is a witness of, in many ways of Christ, of the nature of Christ, not just the teachings of Christ?
Right.
You can even learn the teachings of Christ in relationship to his nature. But you know, you can be seeking your own niche in the whole thing, trying to find a way to get ahead or to get whatever. Well, not a good thing for him to do. So, so I wrote, obviously, the closeness and time that Philip and him spent together, this man of God never discerned what kind of disciple he had. All right, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, this is Peter now talking to Simon the sorcerer, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. All right, so I wrote, however, verse 20 starts with the words, but Peter. Don't you love it? You know, it's like, we got a bad situation here, and we're only aware of it because the Holy Spirit's showing us, but they were not, you know. But God's looking at it. Peter just steps up. We'll deal with this. We'll deal with this. So, let's see. Thank God someone can discern a sorcerer from a disciple. Amen. So, here's some facts on Peter in relationship to Simon the sorcerer. Number one, or I didn't number them, but Peter is not moved by money. It depends on how much. No, not really. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I didn't mean that at all. Okay. Simon the sorcerer has no portion or lot. He clearly does not belong with this group. Right? Clearly. But why? His heart was not right in God's sight. Again, if I read you that AI picture, seriously, if I read you that AI picture that we read, and you look at it in light of this, you'll be going, oh my God, but AI rocked you to sleep and comforted you as you went to bed. You know what I mean? Oh no, oh no. Oh no. This is not good. What was Peter's suggestion for Simon? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. So notice that. Pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And Peter perceived that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So some of the words that Peter uses is money perish with him. No part or lot in this stuff that's going on here in the Lord. His heart is wrong. He needs to repent of wickedness. Thoughts of his heart need to be forgiven. He's in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So it kind of appears like Philip missed a few things here. Amen.
Yes.
Oh my God. We're supposed to have eyes, dove's eyes. Do you know what that means? Eyes of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't, and if we can be rocked to sleep by artificial intelligence that will one day take over the world and you'll think they're your hero, because, you know, peace, and all that kind of junk. We have to start continuing in the Word and start crying out, more of you, Jesus, less of me. Not because I want less of me to mean get rid of my problems, but I want more of you. You know, if you're like a coffee cup, you know, and it had a divider in the cup, and you had coffee on this side and you had vinegar on that side, you know, stop drinking the vinegar side. Stop. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, so remember Acts 6, 2 through 5. Let me see where I am here. Well, we're getting close to something here. I'm going to read Acts 6, 2 through 5 again. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves. So the apostles didn't pick these seven people. Look ye among yourselves, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Clearly Philip at even this stage was not full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom from the very beginning. The Samaritan people getting the Holy Spirit wasn't brought up until the apostles showed up. It wasn't Philip's idea. Also, I question his wisdom. you let a guy like Simon the Sorcerer be your, you know, dude. So the apostles, not Philip, dealt with the urgent need for the Holy Spirit and dealt with the wickedness that had found refuge in the congregation. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. That's Simon the Sorcerer. He's so broken in spirit, isn't he? Pray ye the Lord that none of these things come upon me. Yeah, yeah, like Cain, like a whole bunch of them. They're, you know, now they'll repent. Judas, you know, I have sinned. If you want to take a cute little search through the Bible and just put in the phrase, I have sinned, you're going to be surprised who comes up. It's not the top people, the seeking people. It's the worst people, because they just want out of the trouble that they're in, instead of wanting the Lord. Anyway, we will. Oh yeah, notice that it says, what's come upon me? What about what's come upon the congregation? Which is you. Well, we having fun yet?
Yes. Yeah.
And we still got, we're going to get this great picture in relationship to Philip and Stephen and Paul. And it's really just a beautiful, beautiful picture. So it'll wash all of Philip away. Father, we love you and we thank you for your heart to glorify your Son and for reaching into our lives instead of just a class, this is you reaching into our lives and tenderly drawing us to you to be serious, to understand it is your desire that we continue in the Word, and it is our to our advantage that we do. So we ask that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will move us, move our heart out of its hardened places into being a new creation heart, Father, a new heart. Heart of flesh, meaning that it can be touched and it's open and it's willing. It is viable and malleable. Father, let the Spirit move and make this place a place of your life and of the Word. And of the sharing one to another of life instead of mysteries and trying to prove how deep we are. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you. And therefore we love the Holy Spirit because He will reveal the one we love, which is you, Jesus. And more of Jesus, Father, and less of us. We ask that in His name and for His sake, not in our name and for our sake. In Jesus' name, amen.